Hello, welcome to the Girl and Duck podcast. I'm Jen Storer, acclaimed children's book author and chief inspirationalist. That's not a term I made up. At girlandduck.com, creative writing, creative life. At Girl and Duck, I take you on a journey from exploring the art of kidlit creation right through to mastering the art of kidlit creation. To find out more about the courses and products that I offer, pop over to the website. You're bound to find inspiration and support and something to absolutely love over there. That's www.girlandduck.com. But in the meantime, stick around because we've got lots to talk about. I want to talk about, is this on? I want to talk about chapter construction today. Because it is a thing that bothers people. In my many years of working with creative writers, it is a question that comes up a lot. People tend to think that there's some kind of rule around chapter construction and that every chapter has to be the same word length as the one previous and that there is some sort of preferred word length for chapters. I'm talking about mostly about novels here, middle grade and upwards, but also junior fiction. There seems to be this sort of underlying fear that you've got to meet some kind of hidden criteria, which is a lot about, there's a lot of that around in the creative writing world in lots of ways. But yeah, chapters seem to be where people really tend to get caught up. So I did a little reel this week on Instagram. And if you don't follow me on Instagram and you're a creative writer, then you should follow me on Instagram. Because the reels are a lot of fun and they get a message across very quickly. So I did a little reel about this chapter thing and I thought I'd just expand on it here on the podcast this morning. We've had a power outage, so I've had Billy tea on the back veranda. I got really chilled out. I almost didn't want to come back inside. I didn't really want to know that the power was back on. But that's an aside. So let me get back to chapters. When you're at school, we're taught that every chapter has to end on a cliffhanger. Again, what you learn in school about creative writing is not what you take out into the actual real world of creative writing. While you're at school, you're learning all different ways to write and you're learning about how text works and how words work and how punctuation works. You're learning a lot of grammar. The goal is different. You know, when you're learning to write at school, you're not learning to write to get published or even really to entertain. You're learning other stuff. So it is a big thing to unlearn a lot of the things that we learned at school. Like, for instance, creative writing is all about similes, or it's all about metaphor, or it's all about ending on cliffhangers, you know, these sorts of little rules that get drummed into us and can really harm our writing at the beginning. But we can soon unlearn them. Trust me, you'll get them out of your head. So with chapters, this myth about every chapter having to end on a cliffhanger is exactly that. It's a myth. You know, you don't have to end every chapter on a cliffhanger. And I want to suggest some other ways that you can end your chapters. You can end them on a witticism. You know, a witticism is a great place to end a chapter because it makes people laugh. It gives them an insight into the character that's had the witticism, or it might be the narrator that's made the astute observation. But however it works, it helps to keep the reader in the world and keep them intrigued. On that note, you can also end on something humorous. Aside from a witticism, it doesn't have to be a clever witticism, but it can be something just really funny happens. Because when something funny happens in the world that you're reading about, you want to go back because you're enjoying it. All right, this is what we're working towards here. And I'll expand on that a little bit more in a minute. You can also end on a universality, which is sort of like a witticism, but different. It can be a very wise observation, that speaks for the human condition, something that we all can relate to. So that universality can come via a character, of course, but it can also come via the narrator. You can see examples of these sorts of chapter endings if you went to my book, Tensifalo and the Home for Mislaid Children, which is an old book now, but it's in most of the libraries and you can pick it up in op shops as well. And I think it's available online. But that book, the ends of all the chapters, I had a lot of fun with my chapters. Some of them were definitely cliffhangers because there is quite a bit of action in that novel. But there was a lot of witticisms. There was a lot of humour. There was a lot of universalities. So I used that a lot with closing chapters. So that's a great book to look at if you want to sort of reverse engineer what I'm talking about here. So that's Tensifalo and the Home for Mislaid Children. I'll put it in the show notes. Drop a clanger via dialogue. That's a great way to end a chapter too, you know. It can leave things up in the air. So it can be a cliffhanger like, you know, Billy Joe, there's a body floating in the river. End of chapter. All right. Is a cliffhanger, but it's a cliffhanger that's been delivered via dialogue. But it can also be a more subtle thing. You know, it doesn't have to be a body floating in the river, but it can still be something that draws the reader in. Something that poses a story question, okay? I come back to this all the time. This is how you get tension threads running through your story, by posing story questions, by putting enough out there to alert the reader that there's something going on, all right? And that they get this sort of question in their head that they want the answer to. You're piquing their curiosity. I did a reel about this too. This is our job as writers, to pique the curiosity of our readers and then to satisfy it somewhere down the line. Because curiosity, as I talked about in the reel, is actually literally addictive. You get a rush of, it's probably dopamine, some kind of hormone, when your curiosity is piqued and then satisfied. You get some kind of rush of happy hormones. So it's addictive. So reading is addictive. All right. But the idea, back to chapter endings, is basically you're looking to end on some sort of emotional high point. Okay? Some sort of, or not high, but, you know, heightened emotion. That's really what you're looking for. So it can be something funny, it can be something sad, it can be something scary, it can be something tense. It can be many, many things that you wind your chapter up on, but it's usually linked somehow into some kind of heightened emotion. So they're just some ways that you can look at for when you're next grappling with ending a chapter and you don't feel inclined to end on cliffhangers. End on a witticism, end on something humorous happening, end on a universality, drop a clanger via dialogue, and always be aiming for some sort of heightened emotion. The other thing that I want to say before I finish this little podcast is that the more you write, the more intuitive you will become about this stuff, and the more you will know intuitively when it's time to wrap up your chapter. And that is the best place to get to, is that when you intuitively know it's time to shift gears, it's time to go on to the next thing, you will be guided very strongly by your intuition, and intuition will come to be heightened and strengthened via experience. So always depend on that. Do not depend on what you learnt in primary school about how to construct a chapter, and do not ever think to yourself that chapters have to be a certain word length or a certain way, or that there's some formula out there, because there's not. Okay, there's not. So again, this brings me back to one of the things, one of the tenets of Girl and Duck, one of the things that I say all the time to all the creators out there, is that this is about taking ownership of the project and also taking ownership of the fact that you are the creator. So you make the creative decisions. I can't believe how many people, well, I can now because I've been doing this for so long, but when I first started teaching creative writing, I couldn't believe how many people were disempowered around this. They were looking outside themselves for validation and permission to create. They were looking for, they were literally looking for boxes to get into. All right. And this is a sticking place for a lot of emerging authors. this ability to own their creation, to take ownership of their creativity, to make the big decisions, to take the risks, no matter how big or small. Okay, no one's going to give you a permission slip. You have to just write it out for yourself. Hey, there you go. You're a writer. You can write your own permission slip. Permission to create, permission to create freely. Okay, that's what it's all about. And that's when you get more confident writing and you get more intriguing stories, when people take ownership of their creativity. Yeah, I'll leave you with that one. That's a tricky one. But enjoy your chapter construction. Enjoy how you structure your novel, okay? Have some fun with it, and that will come through in the work. It always does. It comes through as fun. It also comes through as confidence. And as a reader, we want to know that we are going to be held, okay? We want to feel safe when we come to this piece of writing. We want to know that we're in good hands, okay? We want to just be able to relax and enjoy the story. Okay, I think that's enough for today. Bye. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want more ducky goodness, pop over to the website www.girlandduck.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Jen E. Storer, J-E-N-E-S-T-O-R-E-R. Bye for now.